This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move farther on in 2 Thessalonians with the man of lawlessness, wicked deception, stand firm, pray for us, and idleness. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Something has been missing for about 60 years in Lutheran liturgical life. You don't notice it missing because, well, you don't miss things that you don't know are not there, but it has been missing. What about a resource that would allow a pastor in a congregation, even maybe laymen at home, to be able to have all that they need for devotion or worship in one book? Now, the book would have to be big, probably will be. The Roman Catholics have it. They have their missal. Do Lutherans need one too? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time to talk about a Lutheran missal. Pastor Evan Scammon joins us. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Greenwich, Connecticut, and chief editor for the Lutheran Missal. Evan, welcome.
Todd, thanks for having me.
A lot of people probably heard the term, but don't know exactly what it means. What is a missal?
Yeah, I guess that's a good question. It's not a weapon of mass destruction. It's spelled M-I-S-S-A-L, and we're talking about a large book, typically a very ornate, perhaps leather-bound book that goes on the altar, on the stand that we're used to seeing on the altar. It's even called a missal stand, but we just haven't had actual missals on our missal stands for several hundred years. The missal has everything that the pastor would need to conduct the divine service every day of the year, every text, I mean. So this would be all of the readings, all the prayers, the psalm verses, and then the order of service itself and the special rites for certain holy days like Ash Wednesday, Holy Week, the Vigil of Easter, those things.
Someone says, that sounds like a hymnal. How is it different from a hymnal?
Well, a hymnal is more or less what the congregation sings and says, and the missal has what the pastor is to sing and read.
Why is a Lutheran missal needed?
Well, that's a good question. For one thing, we have missal stands on every one of our altars, but no missals on them, and instead we have either three-ring binders or various large books, but none of those have everything that the pastor needs to conduct the divine service any day of the year. So if the pastor, for example, says in our congregation, this year we're going to, following the LSB calendar, we're going to observe the Feast of St. Lawrence on August 10th, where is he going to find those readings and those prayers that the church has used for the last 1,500 years or maybe even more, but they're not really readily available in any resource, certainly not in one volume, but on any given service, even a typical Sunday, you know, the 18th Sunday after Trinity, the pastor can't conduct the service at present from a single book on the altar. He's got to pull in various resources, lectionary books and books with the propers and this sort of thing.
So why does the church need an expanded lectionary, a set of readings for every day? Isn't that what the three-year lectionary gave us?
Well, not exactly. The three-year lectionary does expand the readings, but it only expands the Sunday readings. And if you were, for example, to conduct a midweek service in the middle of Advent or Lent, as many of our congregations do, then the pastor's pretty much on his own when it comes to what should he do. Most of our guys who wouldn't dream of doing a sermon series on a Sunday have no choice but to do a sermon series on the Wednesdays of Advent and Lent. But why would we do this when the church had a schedule of appointed readings, not just for Sundays, but for almost every Wednesday and Friday of the church year and a host of other occasions? So the three-year doesn't really solve the problem of what should we do in the midweek. It simply expanded the selection of readings for Sundays only.
It sounds as though, at least in terms of the tradition, Lutheran worship kind of got derailed by some of the influences of Vatican II. What are your thoughts there?
Well, if we go back to the guiding principle of the Reformation, it was to be very suspect of anything that's new, anything that's an innovation. And that was sort of the whole point of the confession that the Lutherans made in Augsburg, was to say, we didn't invent anything. In fact, we are holding on more tightly to the faithful tradition that we've received from the wisdom of our church fathers. And this is what the Lutherans had done for about 450 years. And then suddenly the Pope decided that we needed a new lectionary, and he put together a crew of, some people would say, a committee of higher critical scholars, and they threw together this lectionary. And I don't know why, it sort of boggles the mind. Why is it that Lutherans, who have always been very skeptical of anything that just got invented, why did we seemingly, without any debate or any study, abandon this treasure that the church had used for 1600 years and sort of adopt wholesale this brand new lectionary that really came from the Pope?
Why did the church develop missals in the first place?
Well, I think it might have been a matter of convenience. All of these texts existed in various books, and so the pastor would have had a lectionary, a sacramentary with the prayers, a gradual with all the psalm verses, and an ordinal with the order of services and the special rites like Ash Wednesday and so forth. But if you can imagine trying to juggle all of those, or not like they had copy machines in those days, but it would have taken a lot of work to have everything prepared and in order to go through the service without causing a disruption. So probably in around the year 1000 is when somebody, we don't know who, first took all of these different resources and bound them together in one giant book that could be on the altar, and the pastor would not have to look at anything else to conduct the service. And these books were sort of immediately adopted by all the dioceses in the Western Church. Within a couple hundred years, you would find one everywhere. And 500 years later, the Reformers received these books, and they didn't throw them out. They continued to use them. They made some changes where necessary, particularly some of the collects were the problem with the cult of the saints and that sort of thing. But the Lutherans continued to use these late medieval missals for 100, maybe 200 years, and then they made German editions of the missals, simply translating the ancient texts. But somehow when we came to the United States, we left the missals behind, and we never made an English one. And so we're sort of back to what the church was doing 1,000 years ago, where any given day a pastor has to consult at least 3 or 4 resources to put the service together.
How did the first Lutherans adapt the existing missals for use in the congregation?
So initially, they simply used the missals as written, with the exception of the collects and some of the abuses related to the canon of the Mass that they corrected. But the missals remained in place in their churches, on their missal stands, in their cathedrals, and they did so for more than 100 or so years. And eventually the Lutherans got around to, because it was very expensive and a lot of work to produce one of these. They had only been printing them for about 100 years before the Reformation. Before that, they were handwritten. And when the Lutherans began to adapt them and print their own, the readings, the gospel and the epistle would generally be read in German. But a lot of the chants, the psalms and the introits and graduals stayed in Latin, as did many of the ordinaries like the Sanctus and the Agnus Dei. And so there was sort of this hybrid of German and Latin, even in the Lutheran use, for almost 200 years. Gradually, everything came to be in German. And then, of course, when we came to the United States, in English. And, you know, just unfortunately, we never got around to making the missals again.
Why didn't the Lutheran Reformers start from scratch like Protestant Reformers often did?
Yeah, I think that's a matter of really a different guiding principle just to the whole concept of what it meant to undertake a Reformation. The Lutheran principle was very conservative, and the Lutherans basically said, we're going to evaluate every practice and every custom that we've inherited, and if it helps to teach us of Christ, if it's beneficial to illuminating the gospel, then we're going to keep it. But of course, if it's harmful to the gospel, and if it obscures the message of Christ, then it has to go. But this meant that the default position was we keep it unless it has a problem. Where the Calvinists and the what came to be the Protestants, they had a much more radical approach to the Reformation, and they called this the regulatory principle of worship. And it meant that only those things that were specifically commanded in Scripture could be done in worship. So, for example, the Bible says, sing to the Lord, make a joyful noise. So the Calvinists said, we're going to sing. But the Bible never said, use a pipe organ. So they literally tore the pipe organs out of their churches, threw them on the front lawns. There was nothing in the Bible that said you can have stained glass in your churches. So they broke out the stained glass windows, painted over the murals, and only kept those things that were specifically commanded to be used in our worship. So it's a far more radical type of Reformation. So certainly the Calvinists could not use any of the late medieval resources that the Reformers inherited, the Lutheran Reformers. Those all had to be thrown out, and everything had to be done over from scratch. Meanwhile, the Lutherans continued to use everything that was good and salutary that they had received from the fathers in the church. Some things were corrupt and had to be altered, but the vast majority, particularly when it comes to a missal, what's in a missal? Mostly scripture readings. None of those are corrupt. And then you have the psalm verses. Once again, that's scripture. And really the only place where the corruption had crept in was not all, but a good number of the collects, which the Lutherans corrected. Apart from that, they retained everything. And in fact, we even confess this. In the Apology, Article 24, we say, we've been falsely accused of abolishing the Mass, but on the contrary, the Mass is observed in our churches with even greater reverence than in the Roman churches. And the schedule of readings and prayers, we continue to use.
We're talking about a Lutheran Missal with Pastor Evan Scammon. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Greenwich, Connecticut, and chief editor of the Lutheran Missal. We'll talk about the sources for this missal next.
Join Lutherans for Life in Washington, D.C., Thursday, January 19th through Saturday, January 21st, 2023. Go to lutheransforlife.org to learn more about LFL's Conference for Adults, LFL at the March, and the Y for Life Youth Conference in Washington, D.C. The registration deadline is December 15th. Lutherans for Life, equipping Lutherans and their neighbors to be gospel-motivated voices for life. LutheransForLife.org.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial-A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial-A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Sacramental, historical, liturgical. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about a Lutheran Missal with Pastor Evan Scammon. He's chief editor of the Lutheran Missal. LCMS Worship has produced free lectionary summaries, hymn studies, a liturgical glossary, and more. You'll find these resources at lcms.org/worship, lcms.org/worship. Pastor Scammon, tell us about the sources for the Lutheran Missal.
So I think we could say we have three different categories of sources. We have the most ancient ones, and these are lectionaries that go back either from around the 800s as far back as the year 471, or not exactly sure if that's the exact date. This particular source is sometimes called the Lectionary of Saint Jerome. We're not entirely sure that he wrote it, but in this lectionary from the 400s, we find the core of what is called the historic lectionary, and it's about 90% in agreement with what has come to us today, particularly with regard to the Sundays. The Wednesdays and Fridays and some of the lesser occasions, some of these gradually developed, but kind of the core skeleton of the lectionary, we can go all the way back to the 400s. And then after these most ancient sources, we have the late medieval missals that, a missal for every diocese in the Holy Roman Empire. So that's about 40 or 50 different dioceses that we use as our sources. And these are the missals that the reformers would have had. This is what Luther would have held in his hand, and they would have used and corrected only where there needed to be corrections. The final group of sources would be the post-Reformation Lutheran sources themselves. So for the next 100 or 2 years, Lutherans made their own missals, and they did this because they wanted the readings in German rather than Latin. And these are very important to us because we can see examples of where they needed to correct a collect, or they needed to remove some sort of aberrant part of the rite for the blessing of the ashes, or some of these sorts of things where some Roman corruptions had crept in. But when you take all of these sources going back all the way to the 400s, the main body of the late medieval dioceses, their missals, and then the Lutheran sources that go all the way up, including the hymnals of the LCMS, what we find, particularly on Sunday, is amazing agreement. Almost 90%. You could pick a given day, fifth Sunday of Trinity, and 75 sources across 1,600 years are in 100% agreement. This is the gospel reading. This is the epistle reading. As we confess in our confessions, here's the schedule that we follow.
So how does a pastor in a congregation, how do they use a missal?
Well, the congregation may not notice any difference at all. It's chiefly intended for the pastor. It would be on the missal stand, and the readings that would be read on Sunday, a congregation might not even be keyed into exactly what does the pastor do up there. On the other hand, there could be a great opportunity for faithful laymen and women to take the missal and use it in their home devotions and sort of organize and structure their week as the midweek readings tend to be structured, following in line and flowing out from the Sunday readings. So there's a great opportunity to have a home devotion that is more grounded in the rhythm of the church year. And also there's going to be those people who are traveling and hate to miss the readings, and they can bring their personal missal along with them and follow along, knowing that not only are they in sync with what's happening at their home church and congregations all over the world, but they're also in sync with 1,600 or more years of Christians who have lived and died hearing and believing these texts as they've heard them read in their services.
So it is useful for the Christian laity.
Yeah, I think it could be very much. Many people are familiar with the Roman Church, where they have, unlike us, they have continued to produce missals for the last 200 years. And you'll often see one of those little small St. Joseph or St. Andrew missals that are treasures, you know, sort of along with someone's Bible and their hymnal. For many Roman Catholics, there's also their missal. And I think there's a great amount of personal devotion that is aided by this resource. And we see that this could be a great benefit to our members, and we ought to restore it. We just haven't had one in a couple hundred years.
Pastor Evan Scammon is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Greenwich, Connecticut, and he's chief editor for the Lutheran Missal. You'll find a link to the Lutheran Missal on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Pastor Scammon, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Friday on Issues Etc., it's This Week in Pop Christianity with Chris Rosebro. We'll discuss the increase in gender-affirming surgeries for teens with Wesley Smith. And we'll talk with Joy Pullman about public schools, libraries, and explicit sexual content for children. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
You can help save lives in Southern Illinois by participating in 40 Days for Life, September 28th through November 6th. Vigils will be held outside abortion facilities at Granite City, Carbondale, and Fairview Heights, Illinois. For information on Granite City, visit 40daysgc.com. To learn more about Carbondale and Fairview Heights, go to coalitionforlife.com. You can protect mothers and children by joining the worldwide effort of 40 Days for Life, September 28th through November 6th.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.